Untold Tales Channel presents. People in the Bubbles. From the monkeys playing volleyball in an outer space using planets as balls, to a woman taking shower which changes into the waterfall, splashing straight into the big city center. His paintbrush moved slowly along the canvas. It was almost ready to be displayed on the most prestigious galleries all around the globe. His previous artworks granted him the reputation of the finest new generation surrealism painter. The new ones are going to match up with high expectations. There will be numerous articles in a specialist press, praising him even more than before. He will be revered, as he always wished to be. Obviously, it will largely affect the prices of his masterpieces at the auctions. Who knows? Maybe they will even reach 7 digits. The paintings have been created in the bubble. His own bubble. He has been walking inside it for the last 40 years. Theoretically, he knew he could do the same outside the bubble, but he didn't. For the outsiders, his job was just moving the coal from one heap to the other. They said it was for the benefit of the society, and they also told that he should stop daydreaming. But the bubble never disappeared. His co-workers quickly noted down his mental absence and ridiculed him for that. He, however, ridiculed them back without them knowing it, what made it the most perfect revenge one might think of, as they couldn't combat it. They didn't have their own bubbles, and they really believed in a bullshit that moving coal from one heap to the other might help to build a better world. Poor morons. He already accumulated decent amount of money to purchase the painting equipment, and he will show what he can do. And it will happen very soon. Just a few paintings more inside a safe bubble. Abrupt signal from material world awoke him from swimming in the pool of his thoughts. He had utmost impression that someone was just watching him. He turned back and saw a black car parked nearby his hip. The other side of the planet Earth, deep jungle. He was lying alone inside his hut in his hammock, as he always had been. He didn't want to learn neither how to shoot birds with that silly long wooden tube called Kurara, nor how to build the house, nor was he willing to drink ayahuasca liquid, which caused only dizziness and strange visions he did not enjoy. Not to mention the ritual of reducing the head size of defeated enemy his Hibaro tribe had been practicing for ages. The only thing he really liked about living in the jungle were the lonely nights. Because of the constant humming, buzzing, snuffling, moaning, croaking, and obviously cicada sounds, those nights should not be called silent nights. He loved them anyways, as it was the perfect time to do with the greatest intensity what he does more or less on daily basis. That is, to imagine how the world beyond the jungle might look like. How they hunt for food, what kind of houses do they have, what kind of tools they use. He was not scared of it, just curious. He always wanted to get there and knew that such a moment will come sooner or later. He was the one who asked most questions when men from outside world visited the jungle. Those men left many curious gifts, such as a stick which shines like a sun, or a long colorful something which strangely fits the size of leg. The boy stretched in a hammock and said to himself, "I am sure there's no wizardry in it as Shaman claims. There must be a practical use for those things." He didn't finish his analysis cause the Shaman entered the hut and said, "The time has come. The boy knew that his time indeed came. He was to be judged. They said he lives inside a dream bubble and is not adaptable to society. He assumed he was going to be expelled from the village, what paradoxically might even force him to look for the outside world, his dearest dream. They went outside and he saw something he had never seen before. Hundreds of men who belonged to the outside world were tied in a circle beside fireplace, and tribal fellows were dancing around them. "We are waiting for the last guests," a shaman said. The other side of the planet Earth. Very cramped space. He didn't know the names of his parents. He didn't receive any formal education. Up to the age of 25, he only knew four things: wretched old couch, stinking red carpet, and an old TV placed in a small table in front of him. All of that amounted to merely 10 square meters. That must have been enough for him. The monster who was coming there once a week in order to rape him totally underestimated him. The boy built such a powerful bubble that no one and never could break it. It sufficed for him to watch the TV channels to learn the language. He also improved his physical strength, repeating series of exercises displayed on a breakfast TV show. The boy couldn't tell what was the breakfast, because firstly he received from the monster food supply only once a week, and secondly, he couldn't separate parts of the day from each other. Boy also suspected that contrary to what monster told him, the world beyond 10 square meters really exists, and is livable, and not contaminated, as monster claims. If it were contaminated, how could the monster survive right there? The boy was wondering. Nevertheless, what really kept him alive were the stories he created inside his bubble. The grain of inspiration stems from TV images, but the rest is the outcome of his imagination. Not always coherent with the laws of physics or any laws at all. Castles on a floating island, bugs bigger than humans, pocket-sized lions, stars which could be reached with a bare hand. The boy definitely lacked in perception of reality, but it didn't make him weaker, it made him far stronger. It happened when the boy turned 25. The monster came as if it was just another day, but it was not. The boy knew exactly what to do. The same second the monster opened the door, the boy greeted him with heat into solar plexus, kicked him forcefully, and taking advantage of the situation for the first time in his life, he went outside. The box he was enclosed within was surrounded by trees, being apparently a bunker in the woods. However, it was not a time to contemplate the view. He sat down on still conscious monster and strangled him with bare hands. "Get up, you will come with us." The boy turned up his head and saw two men in black suits, black hats, and black sunglasses, inviting him to take a back seat in their black car. "I am not going anywhere," replied the boy. "Oh yes, you will," said the taller of two men. 2 months before, the secret headquarters of the organization, so secret that nobody, including its employees, knows how, it is called the conference room. "We have to eliminate them all. They are just too dangerous. We need people who can work hard and do exactly what they are told to do, without unnecessary questions. And they are not fulfilling such criteria," said a chief of the organization with a name unknown even to him. "Excuse me, isn't it exaggerated to eliminate them all? Maybe it would suffice to..." The woman in black did not manage to finish that sentence. "Oh, come on. Nobody is talking about physical extermination. We just want to kick them out of our society." "But how are we gonna do that?" stated another woman in black. "Did I say that it is a time for questions? We have concluded agreement with certain Amazon tribe. Your detailed instructions will be sent to your secret devices. Tommy and Jimmy." "Yes, sir," replied simultaneously two men in black who looked like twins. You'll handle the two most difficult cases, and you'll be responsible for transportation of our secret device right into the heart of the Amazon jungle. To your service as always, sir. Back to 2 months after, vicinity of coal mines in an unknown country. He turned back and saw a black car parked nearby his hip. Inside it, there were two men dressed in black. What or who are they looking for? I'd better check it out myself. At the same time, they both left the car. Are you looking for someone? Yes, just for you. We are more than curious to see how well you can paint. How did you know that? Man, we don't have time for that. Either you accept our offer, or you might forget about your career at this field. That sounds like a nonsensical piece of crap, he thought, but entered the car anyway. What the hell are you doing and why is he unconscious? He didn't manage to finish what he wanted to finish, as two men in black injected a drug into him, which made him also unconscious. Two men in black, along with intoxicated daydreamers, headed southwest to the place where flight jet to Ecuador had been already arranged. Throughout the whole journey, daydreamers were asleep. Men in black started to worry that drugs they administered were too strong. Amazon jungle, Ecuador. Hey, wake up, both of you, I mean, said a taller man in black. The 25 years old boy, along with daydreaming coal industry worker, stood up in amazement, realizing that they were surrounded by the most profound vegetation system on the planet Earth. Tall trees, growing one beside the other, forming the sea of greenery, housing uncountable strains of plants, cicadas, poisonous snakes, scorpions, harmful ants, crocodiles, the king of bush, jaguar, and above all, mosquitoes. All of it was just in front of them. Wow, that's incredible, said a boy who apparently changed one form of misery into the other. We are not here for sightseeing. One of you takes this package. Smaller man in black pointed towards tightly wrapped package of the size of Saturn's slot machine. The other takes machete and will pave the way for the rest of us. We'll secure the back and tell you where to go. The fact that the men in black possessed a gun made this offer non-negotiable. They kept walking for 2 days with no food supply, what made it pretty hazardous, owing to high temperatures and insane humidity. Village of Jibaro tribe. Just a few moments after Shaman said that we are waiting for another guest, the group of four men, two of them dressed like black ants, walked in. One of them was carrying quite a big object, supposedly of ceremonial value. Two black ants men talked to Shaman for a while, but a tribal boy was too far away from that to overhear anything. The two other men were asked to join the tide people in the circle. The tribal dance took 3 consecutive days and nights. During that process, the record-breaking amount of ayahuasca was produced, as there was around 100 daydreamers caught. The shaman made weird gestures, which tribal boy perceived as overly excessive. After that, however, something strange started to happen. Tribal boy observed that all around him and his fellow, yet unknown daydreamers, formed real, tangible bubbles. People were trapped inside them and tried to escape, but it was futile. The shaman carried on his so-called songs, so painful to ears. He shook his rattle and danced all around them again. That time it caused all the bubbles to reduce their sizes to a ping-pong ball. The giant, mysterious package brought by black men was finally unwrapped. It turned out that it was the pinball machine. It seems that all the things worked perfectly, said two men in black at the same time. It's high time we played it. After saying so, they took all the balls from the ground. Haha, do you hear that? They are protesting, laughed one of them. Hell yeah, they wish they could. Put the balls and one coin. I will play first and then we'll take turns. The pinball machine was loaded with 100 balls instead of just one, It required from a man in black much more skills than from casual players. The balls moved crazily, and people inside them screamed heavily. The flippers were at constant move. Bumpers were permanently being hit by one ball or the other, and the control lamps made a disco by turning on and off on a perpetual loop. It was such a fascinating game that even the shaman begged to let him play this.
"We should speed it up," he said.
As insane as it was before, when they switched to level 2, it became literally unbearable. The human eye couldn't have caught the balls moving so fast. And if it hadn't been for a shaman who took over it, the whole effort might have been lost. Using his magical eye, the shaman saw it all perfectly, and even accelerated it by turning on level 3. Hardly after he did it, all the balls shot itself into the space, one after the other, till the machine became empty. They traveled at velocity exceeding the speed of light, what made them all reach another galaxies and perhaps another planets sooner than anyone else could, using more popular methods.
"Okay, mission is complete," said, as always simultaneously, Man in Black.
The secret headquarters of the organization, so secret that nobody, including its employees, knows how it is called. The chief's room, 2 years later. Knock, knock.
"Yes, please come in."
"We have a recent development report, sir," said familiar man in black, talking as usually all together.
"What's up with it?"
"It's not good, sir. We are at standstill in almost all critical branches of human activity. New technologies, economy, art, literature, music, science. There was no notable progress since the last 2 years.
"Why is it so?"
"Humanity is suffering from the shortage of creativity. No new, brave ideas are being proposed. We only repeat what has been already invented."
"That's too bad, boys. Too bad.
What are your suggestions?"
"Well, actually, we shot the most remarkable representatives of creative elements up into the space just 2 years ago, and it appears that the only way to move forward for the mankind is to bring them all back."
"Oh, no," replied the boss.
"Oh, yes," concluded the author.